Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's try that again. Praise the Lord, everybody. My life is not my own. Lord, to you I belong. So I'm giving myself to you. Truly a blessing to be here in the house again with Message of Hope. I want to give God praise for bringing in the hearts of those who are listening in the house and those who are listening online. We thank you, Lord. And now we give you the permission to speak as we, your children, listen. It is in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. And amen. All right, I'm hearing you. Verse 43. Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. This morning, for a short while, I want to use this title, "Come and See," as a caption for the spoken word. Imagine a small, dusty town off the main road. No palace, no temple, no scholars debating in marble halls. Just ordinary people living ordinary lives. That's Nazareth. In the first century, Nazareth was obscure, rural, unimpressive. The kind of place people forget to put on the map. If you were expecting a king, you'd look in Jerusalem. Or if you were expecting a prophet, maybe you'd go down to Bethlehem. But Nazareth, you would not go there. When Philip tells Nathanael that the long-awaited Messiah was coming, Philip said to him, "We have found him. Not just any Messiah, but the one the prophets wrote about. Not just any Messiah, but the one that Moses also wrote about. This is the Messiah, the true Messiah." But he attached an unexpected label. He said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael blurts out, "What kind of thing is this? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It's a question dripping with skepticism. It's a question born in bias. It's a question shaped by expectations. Expectations that was not given to them by the prophet. It was their own making. They have formed in their heads the place that the Messiah should be associated with. Can anything good come from there? The question is asked. And oftentimes we ask the same questions today. Can anything good come from that background? Can anything good or significant come from that family? Can anything good come from that place? Can God really work through that person? Can anything good come from me? Philip does not argue theology. He does not go into a grand debate. He does not come with a whole lot of philosophy. Philip does not debate prophecy. Neither did Philip defend Nazareth's reputation. Philip simply said, come and see. You see what Philip did? Philip shifted the conversation from the place of Nazareth to the person of Jesus Christ. Philip was not concerned about where Jesus was coming from, but who Jesus is. He moved from geography straight to God. He moved from the setting of Nazareth to the Savior of all mankind. Come and see. And this morning I want to invite you to do the same. Come and see. John 1:46 is the foundation on which this sermon will be built on. And it's the canopy that it will stretch over this building. The Bible makes it clear in John 1:46. And Nathanael said to Philip, oh, can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip just simply said in a small voice, come and see. In this passage, Nathanael was a skeptic. He was not concerned about who Jesus was. He was more concerned about where he was coming from. A small, seemingly insignificant town in Galilee. At that time, Nazareth had no great reputation, no royal history, no major religious schools, no political importance. Yet the king of the world was associated with Nazareth. It's a word for us today, because oftentimes we're concerned too much about where we're coming from. It's why we get so caught up with our flags and our colors. It's almost like we are gang. We are more concerned about our flag than we are about the cross. Nazareth was humbled but dismissed. This shows, brothers and sisters, that greatness is not determined by your reputation. It's not determined by your geography or your status. Greatness is determined on who you are connected to. Am I talking to anybody in this house today? Nathanael's question reflects prejudice. Brothers and sisters, I want you to stay with me because I'm going somewhere. But I want to let you know it might just get a little uncomfortable for you. Nathanael's questions reflect prejudice. Judging a place and a people as unworthy. Philip's answer is simple and powerful. Come and see. This means faith invites experience, watch this, over assumption. In other words, you can't truly speak about something or someone or someplace unless you have been there to experience what it's like. Scripture has often been preached in communities. This scripture has often been preached in communities that were looked down upon, poor neighborhoods, colonized nations, enslaved people, because it declares that God can bring power out of the oppressed. Leaders can come from forgotten communities. Hope can rise from suffering. Just as Nazareth was dismissed, today I want to let you know that what is happening right in our country is an abomination. Because we have brought people and placed them in a position that is not good. You know, I was speaking to a friend. A church brother got deported. It's not the deportation alone that I was bothered with. The brother was sent to Guantanamo Bay. And he said for 7 days he did not eat. And he waited there in his cell, didn't leave his cell for nothing, because he was afraid that he will die if he left. The brother stayed there, dying of starvation, hungry, couldn't go anywhere. And he stayed there until they deported him to his right country. Am I talking to anybody? That's not the way you treat somebody. But this is the thing that we are struggling with. Prejudice has fallen on the hearts of many of our people today. And it's no longer limited just to our slave owners. The slaves has also become prejudiced. Brothers and sisters, let's not keep it quiet. We don't have to put any makeup on it. Our president didn't come into presidency because all white people voted for him. It's people that look like you and I that also did that damage. And we've got to face that reality that prejudice is in our own communities. We don't like ourselves. Because we don't like ourselves, we can't like or love one another. Am I talking to anybody in this house today? Prejudice, being defined in the Webster's Dictionary, is an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. I like this one. I like this one. This definition, I love this one. It says, it is an adverse opinion or leaning formed without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. In other words, when you make decisions about anybody, any place, or anything without first being informed properly, you are prejudiced. The slaves started to hate each other. And that's the same disease that has spread to us today, our people. See, we call it black pride. But if truth is to be told, nothing good has ever come from pride. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. The Bible says, for everything in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It comes not from God, but from the world. The world and its desires passed away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. The Bible says in James 4:6, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. In case you don't know, I'm from a small island. And I highlight small island called Antigua and Barbuda. It's a twin island state. But one of the words that is connected to that island is the word third. Y'all don't hear me? No, somebody missed that. One of the words connected to the entire Caribbean is the word third. Somebody still don't get it. Y'all still don't get it. The word third. Oh. Third world. Oh, third world countries. Now, I want to know who is counting. And who determines who is third world and who is first world? And why do we need a ranking? Well, I'm still trying to understand. This is literally based fully in prejudice. Because I'm trying to understand I've done the research and it still makes no sense who is first and who is third. But we keep using the words though. Oh, they're third world countries. These third world countries is in our space. I remember when I first moved here, I met some very sweet people. Sweet, loving people. They took me in. They fed me. They clothed me. They gave me opportunities. I'm telling you, wonderful people. I'm making a point here. But there's also some people who asked me a whole lot of questions. Where did you say you're from again? From Antigua. Do you have electricity there? No, I don't. We burn torches all night long. See, I'm being sarcastic for a reason. Because clearly prejudice had already stepped into our conversation. They weren't really concerned about me. They wanted to know where I'm from and if I am legitimate because of where I'm from. And then there's another debate that I'm always having, accent. I remember when I came here first, they said, man, you have an accent. I said, you have one too. Oh, no, I don't have an accent. So what do you think you're talking with? I'm talking about prejudice. But it's nothing new. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 73, Peter was identified based on his accent. The Bible says, hear the words of the Lord. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gave you away. Am I talking to anybody in this house? What do you think? Prejudice is just starting today? It's been there since the Bible days, because it was something that Satan designed to create separation amongst people. See, many of us, I go back to this, we hate ourselves. And if you hate yourself, you can't really love people. Think about it. This is Nathaniel speaking about Nazareth, and he's also a Galilean. Y'all don't hear me. In other words, he's really speaking about his own people. Somebody missed it. He's concerned about his own people, but not in a positive light, in a negative light. Can anything good come from Nazareth? When Nazareth is a part of Galilee and you are a Galilean, so why do you speak about your own people in that manner? Am I talking to anybody? Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to move back towards community. Move back to fellowship and intimacy. Move back to unity. Move back to oneness. Move back to love. See, coming from an African cultural context, the village mindset is something that was evident in my island. See, I'm not speaking so much for a lot of islands because I've never lived there. But I can tell you, I've lived in just a few. And the two main ones, I've lived in Antigua, and I've also lived in Jamaica. Let me share this with you. One of the dangers that floats around in all black community is this competition mindset. We are always competing with one another. But let me tell you, in my island, one of the things I love is hurricane season. I love when a hurricane comes through and knock out the lights. And for some people, that's some strange stuff. But I'm going to tell you why. When a hurricane comes and the lights are out, what we do, we set up a post in the village, which is a central post. We clear the land and we start a fire and we start cooking. And everyone from that village will empty their refrigerators because they don't have electricity. And they will bring the food to the central place. And we will cook and we will feed and we will feast with one another in love. At that point in time, we're all standing in the same position. So no one can look at anyone as though they're above or beneath. Come on, somebody. Sometimes God brings tragedy in your life so that you will recognize that we all sit at the cross and we stand there in need of a savior. So look at me every single year looking for a hurricane to come so we can have true community. Am I talking to anybody in this house? See, as an African mindset, we are called to live together as one people. And I'm going to pause right here. We got to be real. Because we have been programmed by the very people who have enslaved us for many years. Am I talking to anybody today? Look, we're told when to love, Valentine's Day. We're told when to give thanks, Thanksgiving. We're told when Jesus was born, Christmas Day. We're told when to celebrate his life, death, and burial. And that don't even have a real day. Astrologers tell us, based on the new moon, when we are to represent Jesus Christ's death and burial. If you recognize, Passover don't come the same time every year. Or they call it Easter. Easter is never the same date every year because they're waiting on the alignment of the moon to say exactly when we have the death, burial, and resurrection. Are y'all hearing me? But we're programmed. Are we not programmed? We're programmed. Astrologers tell us what to do. They tell us when to celebrate. We're told to celebrate Black History Month during February. And during February, I put my best dashiki on and I come out and say, hey, I'm black. But what happens when May comes and August and September? We forget. Because we've been programmed that when February comes, all the Ethiopian colors come out. Come on, somebody. In case y'all don't know, that is the red, that is the gold, and that's the green. Am I talking to anybody in this house today? Bible makes it clear that Nazareth was rejected. Nazareth was rejected. And the reason why many of us are still struggling in our communities is because we have left the essence of what or who brought us this far. See, when I listen to Martin Luther King and his sermons, I'm saying his sermons, when I listen to his sermons, I recognize from a young age that the struggle and the fight for equality for King was rooted in the fact that we are all God's children made in his image. And that's why he was fighting. But God was never left behind for him. Today we have delved into all kind of crazy stuff, witchcraft and all kind of stuff, and we've left Jesus behind in our movement, and now we are struggling and suffering because the Lord is no longer the forefront of what we have started so long ago. This is why Nathaniel, just like many of us, can ask the same question. The fight that we have, let me tell you this, man, the worst thing to do is to fight with your own family. The worst thing to do is to fight with people who looks like you. And it's the biggest struggle that we have today. Brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that the slave owners are going to be who they are. Because one of the things that we think slavery is over, but it's not. They've just found new ways to enslave people. That means if they have found new ways to enslave people, we need to make sure that we stay together so that we can support each other as we go through. Listen, I've lost a job because of racial tension. I'm not speaking from some distant shore. I'm talking about I've been through this thing. I've seen the hands of evil working through men who were supposed to be there to support and lift up. But these are the same men that was behind your back saying all these things, trying to take you down. This is the problem that we are facing. The very people who are supposed to be one with us have divided us. So John, in his gospel, those four verses that I just read, Jesus called Philip. Philip founds Nathanael and announces, "We have found the Messiah." But when Nathanael hears that Jesus is from Nazareth, he was found, as I said earlier, in skepticism. The question has echoed throughout history. Can anything good come from a slave plantation? Can anything good come from the islands labeled as third world? Or from anything, can anything good come from the Caribbean? Or from Africa? Or from South America? Or from Central America? Can anything good come from anywhere else? The first thing I want you to consider in this passage, help us, Holy Ghost, is Jesus understood what rejection is. Jesus understood. He knows. He has experienced it. And one of the things that really got me, I was reading Matthew chapter 28. I've read this book many times I've read this chapter, but Jesus was risen from the dead. And when he got there, his disciples saw him. And the Bible says they bowed down and they worshiped him. But when they bowed down and worshiped, the Bible says that there are some who were there that were still doubting. I'm going to pause right here, which suggests that a man as perfect as Jesus, who have never sinned, who have done all these goods, healed sick, he has given those who can't hear hearing, those who can't speak speaking, he have done all these things, and at the end of the day, there were still people there that's doubting. This is not even a part of what I was going to say. This is the thing that I need you to understand. You can't please people. Because people don't need a reason to dislike you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You can't do nothing for a person to dislike you. I can just see this brother, man, I can't stand him. Why you can't stand him? I don't know, just something about him I can't stand. You can't even say what it is. Am I making sense? Which means if you can't do nothing for them to dislike you, you can't do nothing for them to like you either. Y'all hear what I'm saying? People usually portray what is already inside of them. Hate. Why can't we all just love? Why can't we all just get along? Nazareth, Jesus understood what rejection was. Nazareth was no place of prestige. It was not Jerusalem. It was not Rome. It was not the center of power. It was ordinary, poor, ignored. Jesus did not come from political influence or economic power. He came from a place that many people have pushed away. And many of us in this room have come from places that is just the same. See, colonization was not an easy thing. But this is what I always say, and I want to speak to us clearly, because when I came here, I listened to even brothers that came after me. See, colonization is a little different than what African-American folks went through. I need y'all to hear me. Because what the folks, black Americans, had to go through is nothing like what folks from the islands went through when it comes to slavery. I need to make this very clear. Because there's always this fight, and it just needs to be over. Honestly, I'm just tired of it, you know. Understand a person. This is why I'm talking about prejudice. Because if you don't understand a person's struggle, how can you speak to it? How can you say, oh, they can do better? They can do better. You don't know. You don't understand. And if you don't understand, you don't reserve the right to speak to it. Listen, it's best you just shut your mouth and keep it pushing rather than speak on something that you have no knowledge of. But if you took time to study the laws that was put in place, Jim Crow laws and all. Listen, I went to Mississippi to pastor for 2 years. I have to tell a story. I'm being honest. Some of my Mississippi folks, they're watching online right now. Listen, I drove 12 hours. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was scared because all I was thinking about was lynching. And I'm driving, and when the sun starts setting, I said, Lord, I was in nothing but cornfields, pitch black, and the sun was going down. I said, Lord, help me in this place. I started to accelerate so fast. I said, I'm going to have to get a ticket out here. But then I said, no, I don't want to get a ticket because the police that stopped me might be a racist police. What am I going to do then? I said, God, you got to take this. But let me tell you this. Brethren, I floated all the way to the city. I was driving over 100 miles an hour because I did not want the sun to set. Watch this. All that was because of my biases about where I was going. But when I got there, man, I had a wonderful time. The city loved me, and I loved the city. It was not like where I'm coming from here in Orlando, but it was where I needed to be because that's where the Lord directed me. Am I talking to anybody? Because oftentimes we have these preconceived notions based on places that is not true, and what happens when we get to that place and we discover that it's not so, many of us don't even take the time to apologize. We don't ask for forgiveness. The Bible makes it clear that Nazareth was not the chosen of that day, but Jesus was from there. And for centuries, many islands in the Caribbean, they were defined by what was taken from them rather than what was within them. Empires extracted wealth. Plantations produced sugar. But people were labeled as less than. Nazareth was labeled the same, and Jesus was from there. But it matters not where you're from. I want to let somebody know that once you are connected to Jesus, you are worth him dying for your sins and for mine. Am I talking to anybody? Because Jesus was not looking at where you're from. He was more concerned about who you are. You should not be looking at where Jesus was from. You should be concerned about who he is. Second thing I want you to consider is God chooses what the world dismisses. It is something that many of us still don't understand. You know, I personally love how Jesus chose his disciples. Fishermen, shepherds, all these. There's only one crook, and he was from Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. Think about it. All the others were Galileans. Judas was the only one who was learned and from Jerusalem, and he was a thief. You can't get over on Jesus. Nathanael's question reveals prejudice. Nathanael's question reveals prejudice. Nathanael's question reveals prejudice. In other words, Jesus was the sweetest man there is in the then known world, and he was more concerned about where he was from than who he was. And I want to stop right here, because this goes for all mankind. Because even we as black people, we have our prejudice, don't we? Don't sleep now. We have our prejudice, don't we? And we choose who we want to choose and look at who we want to look at as the worst of the worst. But one thing I'm more concerned about is just telling the truth. When you tell the truth, you save yourself. Listen, I don't play. If you are racist, I'm going to say you're racist. I'm not going around the bush to say, oh, maybe he's having a little trouble. No, you're racist. Am I making sense? You see, what is happening today is because we have removed the clear line of demarcation as to what is sin and what's not, what is black and what is white, what is happening now, people don't even know where they are. So they will accept even the demon that comes and present himself as good, because they really don't know what good truly is. You see, what I love about Jesus is that for years, we can see this even before Jesus came on stream. We see that God uses people from dismissed places all the time. Gideon was not a man who was well known. He was not no great general, but God called Gideon to get the work done. Am I talking to anybody? God called Elisha and Elijah. They were not no great prophets sitting anywhere, but God called them anyway. He looked for John the Baptist, who was eating locusts and honey, dressed weird. He had leather around him and camel's skin over him. But the Bible makes it clear that God chose John the Baptist to herald the coming of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to anybody? So you need to stop saying, no, he's not it. She's not it. He's not good enough. She's not good enough. That's not your business. God uses whoever he chooses, and he is no respecter of person, so he don't have to ask your permission to anoint a person. Am I talking to anybody today? When the anointing flows, it flows on whoever God wants it to flow on. So he chose Bethlehem, even though Bethlehem was a small town. He chose shepherds and not kings to be his disciples. Fishermen, not scholars. He chose Nazareth. He chose the world. He is trying to help us to understand that it matters not where you're from. It matters not your pedigree or your status. In Christ, we are winners, and we can be victorious over the evil one. Just as Jesus emerged from Nazareth, the Lord has called us to come up from that thing that is holding us down. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it reminds us that God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. See, the glory does not belong to the place. The glory does not belong to the place. The glory does not belong to the place. The glory belongs to the person, and his name is Jesus. So who cares where he's from? Who cares if he's from Lazarus or Bethlehem, Jerusalem or Galilee? It doesn't matter. What matters is what he came to do. He fulfilled that thing. And because of that, you and I now can stand on the right side of history, knowing that we are walking with Jesus. The glory belongs to Jesus, the person. But I want to let you know that oftentimes Jesus can go any place and use people. It is Jesus, not Nazareth. It is Jesus, not Bethlehem. Jesus, not Galilee. Jesus, not Jerusalem. Everything is in Jesus, which means it's not the nation's GDP that determines its value. It is Christ in a people that determines a nation's worth. The Bible says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. These people are called by the name of Jesus. That means it is not really where you're from that is the most important thing, but who you are connected to. It is Jesus that makes a nation nation healthy and not how much money they have. Am I talking to anybody today? Last thing, I want to finish this using this last point. It's the invitation that is important more than anything. You see, Philip's response was a powerful one. Point number three, the invitation, come and see. That's the last point. Philip's response was powerful. He said, come and see. Now watch this. Remember this shift now. Nathanael was concerned about the place, but Philip was concerned about who? The person. Are y'all with me? Nathanael was concerned about the place, but Philip was concerned about the person. This is what the Bible says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, brother, you can't tell nobody that Jesus is good unless you taste for yourself. You see, Philip had already been with Jesus. He knows who Jesus is. He has encountered Jesus, built a relationship with Jesus. Now he is saying to Nathanael, come, boy. You don't even know. Because I've tasted. And this is something good. And you don't want to miss this. And that's the problem that many of us have as churchgoers, but not truly Christian. We have not yet tasted and see that Jesus is good. So we really can't talk about him. So Philip said, come and see. Come. The word come signals movement. Movement away from prejudice. Movement away from distance. Movement towards encounter. You see, it shifts the focus from debating about a place to approaching a person. Come. It's a verb that tells that he needs to move to another location. The gospel consistently portrays faith not as winning arguments, but as responding to an invitation. Come on, somebody, come. The Greek phrase that goes with this word come and see is used when it is at the close of a narrative and something new is about to be introduced. So when John says, come and see, he is now coming to the end of the narrative, all that mess about Nazareth, and now he's about to shift to Jesus. The Bible makes it clear that a great shift came to Nathanael when he encountered Jesus. You see, our passage is not to introduce something new. It is to introduce someone new. There was a great shift in the passage when Philip calmly said to Nathanael, boy, it's time for you to come. Here's the shift in our sermon today. It is not about geography, Nazareth. It is not about your heritage, where you're coming from. It's not about your birthplace. It is not about your flag. It is not about your cuisine. It's not about your culture. It's not about your accent. It is about whose image you have been made in. See, the word see in the book of John is never merely physical sight. So Philip was not saying to Nathanael, come and look at Jesus. Come and see. The word see here actually means, I want you to stay with me right here. The word see actually means a spiritual perception and a recognition of your true identity. When Philip says, come and see, what he's saying, come on, Nathanael, let me show you what your true identity is. The Bible says the word became flesh. This word see, John used it many times. The word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In John chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son. That means the Son has experienced God. So Philip was inviting Nathanael into a new experience. Philip was not inviting him to inspect Jesus, but to behold Jesus. Y'all don't hear me. He was not inviting him to inspect Jesus, but to behold him. This is going somewhere right now. This is how I'm going to land this plane. Philip was not inviting him to inspect. You see, when you're inspecting, you're looking with your eyes to see where the error is. Am I talking? Or where the authenticity is. But Philip never invited Nathanael to come and inspect Jesus, but to behold him. The command see redirects attention from origin to identity. I'm saying this. He doesn't defend Nazareth, he points to Jesus. He doesn't defend the place, he points to the person. The answer to prejudice is not pride, it is revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is what we can use today to get rid of pride. So when people say nothing good comes from there, the church should respond, come and see what Christ has done. Nothing good can come from that country. Come and see what Christ has done. Nothing good can come from that family. Come and see what Jesus has done. Nothing good can come from that city. Come and see what Jesus has done. Listen, listen to this. This is the sweet part of this passage, and I'm going to sit down. This is the sweet part of this passage. I love it so much. The Bible said, did I say the Bible? The Bible said, when Nathanael actually saw Jesus. Come on, look at your Bible. John 1, 49. The Bible says when Nathanael, remember Nathanael was saying, can anything good come from Nazareth? But the Bible says when Nathanael saw Jesus and when he encountered Jesus, he declared three titles of Jesus. Pause right there for effect. He saw Jesus. He encountered him. And the encounter was so powerful that the Bible says the same Nathanael that was saying, can anything good come? Remember, the Bible makes it clear in John 1:45 that they have found the Messiah that John, that Moses wrote about and to whom the prophets also spoke, Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? John Nathanael said, but when he encountered Jesus, the Bible said that he shouted, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Brothers and sisters, if you encounter Jesus, there's no change. If you encounter Jesus and there's no change, you're on your way somewhere. I'm not even about to say that. I'm going to leave that for you and for the Lord. As I bring this thing to a close, Jesus was not born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about how prejudice messes things up. How prejudice messes things up. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, and from ancient times. Church, I want to make this clear. Because we should not leave here ever dealing with the same issue. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He wasn't born in Bethlehem. He was born exactly where the prophets had prophesied that he was going to be born. But here lies the issue. Before Nathanael got to know who Jesus was, he started to judge. He started to label him. And he almost missed his opportunity. Here's it for you today. This is the call. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Don't look at me. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Here's it. You ought not to leave this house and ever treat anyone the way Nathanael treated Jesus. If you have not encountered, if you have not connected, don't speak to it. Today my call is simple. You're saying in your hearts, Lord, I've done things my way for so long. I've depended upon where I'm from, my family, my bloodline. But now I want to depend on you. If you're here today, And you're saying, Lord, I want to depend on you. Church, as you're praying, I just want you to raise your hands. If you're here and say, Lord, I want to depend on you fully. I see the hands. I see the hands. I see the hands. There must be a shift from place to person. I see the hands. Praise the Lord. Next call is simple this. You have not turned your life over to Jesus as yet. You have not. And today, the opportunity is made possible for you. And you're saying, Lord, I want to give my heart to you fully, all the way down to baptism. We're having a baptism next month. Baptism is coming next month. And you're saying, Lord, I want to be a part of the baptism. Listen, we will teach you. You will be taught. So it's not like you're just going to make a random decision. And you're saying, hey, I want to go all the way in baptism and give my heart back to Jesus and get his identity. If you're here, I'm going to invite you to just raise your hands. If you're here, raise your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. You're saying, I see another hand back there. I see another hand back there. You're saying, I want to go get baptized and give my heart fully over to Jesus. I see another hand back there. Church, we're praying. You're saying, I want to get baptized. I want to give my heart fully over to Jesus. We're praying. Lord, you've seen the hands. You've seen the hands raised in submission to you, Lord. Saying they want to follow you all the way. Lord, I'm praying right now that there will be no obstacle. There will be nothing that is standing in their path from becoming one with you. Lord, I'm praying right now that you will bless them. That you will go before them, behind them, beside them. But most of all, Lord, I pray that you will live within them. Lord, I'm praying right now that you will remind them that you are God that loves and cares for your children. And you're willing to go all the way into a deep relationship with them. Lord, give them the strength to make it to the next baptism. Lord, there are those who have raised their hands saying, I want to go all the way with Jesus. They don't want to do things their own way. They want to depend on you. Lord, I'm praying right now that you remove any obstacle, any stronghold, anything that prevents us from having a committed relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you'll increase our faith. I'm praying, Lord, that we would walk in your word. Help us, dear Lord, to hide the word in our hearts. So that we will not sin against you. Lord, I'm praying right now for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your people today. Seal us until you come. Bless us now. Lord, we can't wait to see you. Until then, keep us faithful. Keep us righteous. Keep us sanctified. It is in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. And amen.